I mean, it was interesting the conversation we were having about, you know, what is terrorism and what isn't. I've just signed up to a new uni for the next year, and I took a class that talks about this. When is terrorism terrorism, and when is it called something else? And we saw that in the reporting for Belfast. And the response that was talked about with the Manchester police in response to an artist pro-Palestine work, who you were saying that she got raided?
Yeah, she got raided. She's an artist. And in fact, there's the thing that gets me is that there's now a chuffed.org call out for funds because she's been charged. Now, this is a person who is an artist. She's put out a comic book, a pro-Palestinian comic book. She's spoken at rallies. Young woman, she's got three children. One's 11, one's the youngest is 4. 7 a.m. in the morning, a full complement of armed police raided her house in Manchester. For apparently being, what she's been charged with is, let's see what it is. They're terrorism charges. She's been charged with terrorism.
I've just looked up the artist's Chuffed account. It's Aisha Fazel. She's just given an update. She's actually saying she's had her bank account shut down. And she's not received any satisfactory response with her bank, which is Halifax Bank. This is really, really disturbing. And this is in the context of... it says here that the raid took place on the 22nd of January 2025, as you mentioned off-air, at the break of dawn, and she has young children who are off school that week, and 15 officers, and most of them were armed, had stormed through her home. So this is really disturbing. On top of the news we heard this week of the 50-year prison sentences that were given to those activists that were protesting against the what's going on with the anti-immigration
in the US.
Yeah,
like they were given 50 years prison sentence. One of them for who actually left. When
she was asked to.
Yeah, when she was asked to. It's definitely putting out, it's dog whistling. What they're doing is dog whistling. I mean, the woman in Manchester was accused of extreme Islamic belief and she's been charged. And this was based on anti-terrorism units being basically rung up on a ongoing basis by Zionist aligned voices, dobbing her in as a terrorist threat.
But ironically, it is literally the type of suppression of people's civil rights that does lead to violent extremism. Like, I think the consistent lesson from the last 200 years of history is that when you remove a population's ability to peacefully meet their community's needs for things like security and basic human rights like food and shelter, people do have to rely on violent means of getting those needs met. If you're putting populations in jail for 50 years for protesting.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going
to
go?
Well, there's nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Well, so one is assuming that is the strategy that is being put down by maybe the end game is something that the right wing oligarchs are keen for, because we've seen in Belfast the attack on people of colour settled there with, burning of their houses and things of that nature. Interesting that it's considered to be, it was put forward by the rioters that it was all about a nationalistic Irish response. But of course, it was by people who had done the same thing in the 70s to Catholic Irish people to remove them from exactly the same area. And these same people are the people who like to see themselves as British, not as Irish. So the ingenuousness of it is breathtaking, as well as contrived, because as the money trail goes through, it's actually got American fingerprints all over this high octane it's just an attack on.
I mean, I think they should be called pogroms.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly the same kind of approach that was done in Europe, in various parts of Europe, and not just Russia. A range of places attack Jewish people in pogroms.
And if you've got a situation where you've got young children having to be hidden from violent
extremists,
yeah. Obviously, that isn't about protecting your national identity.
And just getting back to the news of these 50-year prison sentences against these activists who were protesting against the harsh totalitarian anti-immigration stance in Trump, it comes down to this labeling of groups. So, like. And they label it Antifa, but it's Antifa is not a broad organization. It's just
it's a concept.
It's a concept. Yeah. And in fact, I'm just reading, just looking through online. This is on the PBS website about this coverage of these people who got the 50-year sentences. They actually did not say they were members of Antifa. They're actually members of a book reading group.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
But this mystification of terms and places and historical moments is capitalized on by people like, I love what you've written in the notes here, right wing knob, Tommy Robinson. But we know his name's not Tommy Robinson. His name's actually Stephen Lennox. So I think we should start calling him by his real name. Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon, who's a British far-right politician who was previously involved before co-founding the English Defence League, which is a well-reported-on Zionist project. He was part of the British National Party, which famously had no luck in the polls, and so instead focused on street marches and mobilizing large amounts of people, creating the Combat 18 paramilitary, which is
a fear and loathing, effectively. And it's interesting you should bring that up, because George Mobiot, English commentator, has pointed out in his latest newsletter that, which he calls, it's real and it's the exact opposite of what the far right says it is. What is two-tiered justice? He talks about the notion that what's going on in the race riots that happened in Belfast and other types of things that have been stirred up are actually terrorism, but that the state refuses to actually name right-wing attacks on the population as terrorism, just as the using the anti-terror squad on an artist and her family is making people believe that the state and the government are actually aligned with the right wing.
I mean,
am I wrong there?
Well, what happened in New South Wales when the president of Israel,
President Herzog's visit,
and was that not terrorism?
On another. I don't know if you've noticed, but the use of AI, not only the snuffling up of public land for data centres all around Melbourne in Footscray and ringing the entire place, which is almost, you'd have to say, a Ponzi scheme of AI delight, believing that everything is going to be in the hands of oligarchs running AI, and the government's giving over all our assets, our water, and in a dry land to
creating a ring of fire.
One of the most fascinating things, horrifying things, is the thing about the robot drones. Now, if you're a reader and you're old like me, you would have read Philip K. Dick's stories about the automated. I mean, this is like, it's like they're taking their they've got a list, you know, a checklist, and it's a Philip K. Dick checklist of the things that they want to create. And so you would have heard about the robot drones in the Ukraine. David Shoebridge put out a piece which he describes it so perfectly that I thought it would be worthwhile allowing the great man speak.
We need to ban killer robots, and we need a global treaty to do it urgently. We have just had the first confirmation that a fully autonomous AI drone has killed humans. The details are now becoming clearer. In parts of the Ukraine battlefront, drones with no human oversight were instructed to kill every human in a given area, and they did. Meaningful human control is necessary across technology, but it's especially essential when we're talking about issues of war, the deliberate infliction of pain and harm and death. Of course, we need human oversight. We are seeing the rise of AI warfare across the world. The US Department of War used Elon Musk's AI some 2,000 times in the initial targeting in Iran. And life and death decisions, mostly death decisions, are being made by AI in places like Gaza and Lebanon and Iran thousands and thousands of times. Humans must take responsibility for the wars they start and for the killing that is a part of a war. We cannot contract this out. In fact, it is incredibly dangerous to contract this out to algorithms and AI. For years, human rights groups have been campaigning for a treaty to ban killer robots, and the time is now. This is no longer some kind of sci-fi movie. This is a horrifying dystopia that's happening around us. We need a treaty to ban killer robots.
Now, that's David Shoebridge. Now, he's a senator for the Greens in New South Wales. Now, it would appear that the Greens are the only people who are being sensible about this. Why is that so?
Yeah, also in the New South Wales, we can remember a story we reported on previously. In Maree, the police have started using drones to catch people in a First Nations dense community around there in Maree.
Oh, my God.
And they've gone out to do, you know, assist police and searches and all these sort of terms. So, I mean...
Why do you think it's all right?
Mm.
I mean, really? I mean... You really have to ask yourself, why do you think that having these people who are proving themselves to be unconscionable, having unlimited levels of power over everything, is a good idea? It's quite bizarre, quite bizarre.
On that note, I think the other really big piece of news that's been developing in the last couple of weeks is Elon Musk becoming a trillionaire, which you guys might have discussed on the show last week. But I heard something like truly...
No, we chose not to.
I think this needs to be said, this piece of information I've picked up this week that was, like, bone-chilling. Amazon's CEO, Jeff Bezos, is closer in wealth to the average person than he is to Elon Musk. That's how vast the difference is between a billionaire and a trillionaire.
Wow.
That's just ridiculous, isn't it? And also, that is actually a security risk to the entire human... project, having someone that wealthy. In fact,